in this day than all the other days. Okay, we need to remember that, because this is a special day that God has specifically made for us to have an encounter with Him, to forget about all work, all our troubles and things like that, and just put our focus on Jesus and learning how to be more and more like Him. So let's bow our heads. Kate is one of my friends from Souls West, and Emily Masker, and they're both from Souls West, and they are here. We'll end vacation for a little bit before they start doing door-to-door literature ministries. And they're actually going to be leaders in the summer programs, both Kate and Emily. And so that's exciting for them. That's something awesome that's happening in their lives. But that's awesome that young people are actually taking, you know, the initiative to doing ministry. Amen. So let's take the example from them. So let's have Kate pray for us as we begin. Amen. All right, you guys are going to forgive me. I'm losing my voice a little bit. But what will be our first song? Oh, yeah? All right.
Our first song will be on page 69. I decided tonight, it's just such a blessing to be here. And it's a wonderful blessing to be together, for worshipers to dwell together in unity on the Sabbath. And I just want to renew the vision in our hearts. As Seventh-day Adventists, we are looking for the Lord's second coming. And I know a little story about this song. Ellen White's husband, James White, used to walk down his aisle every Sabbath, clapping his hymn, going, "You will see your Lord is coming, you will see your Lord is coming," as he would leave the sanctuary every Sabbath. And so, as you know, they had a hope. They thought the Lord was coming right then. This was written in 1843, right before 1844. So they literally thought the Lord was coming very soon.
You will see the Lord coming.
Wait, it goes like this.
You will see the Lord coming. You will see the Lord coming. You will see the Lord coming in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the heavenly band of music. Hear the heavenly band of music, whizzes sounding through the air. Give your senses mighty trumpet, give your senses mighty trumpet, give your senses mighty trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the heavenly band of music. Hear the heavenly van of music which is sounding through the air. You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arise, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Hear the van of music, hear the heavenly van of music. Hear the heavenly band of music which is sounding through the air. Angels bear the sound descending, angels bear the sound descending, angels bear the sound descending in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the heavenly band of music. Hear the heavenly band of music which is sounding through the air. Then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the heavenly band of music. Is a heavenly band of music which is sounding through the air.
Now, if you'll turn with me to a few pages back, number 63. This song is called Sounds of Battle Cry. And as we are going to be having a Bible Works seminar, learning.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe's nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird our armor on, stand for everyone, Christ and Son is on the holy word. Rising soldier, riding on the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, stronger, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throne. Strong through every door, through every goal. Rising there, rising soldiers, riding on the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throne. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, quickly win the good before thy face. Brass and soldiers rallying round the banner, ready,
steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne. Christ is captain of the mighty throne. Amen. Go ahead. Our next song will be number 48. And this is actually one of my favorite hymns because it talks about how we need to allow God to work in our hearts, to work in our lives, so that we can go wherever He sends us, so that we can say whatever He wants us to say. And that, I hope that that is our desire every single day of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you have heard this song before? All right. It's one of my favorite hymns. Number 573. This is like this.
It may not be a mountain's height, or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, our Lord will have need of me. But if my still small voice I calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with thy hand in mine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Last stanza.
There's surely somewhere place in
to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Amen. Isn't that a beautiful song? Amen. Let's thank Cade and Emily for helping us with our songs. They came all the way from Arizona just to be with us.
Right.
Amen. and to visit Emily's parents, of course. Okay, that woke you up. Good. It's muted. There you go. Well, happy Sabbath again. Yeah. And I'm glad that you're here, because if you were not here, then I wouldn't have anybody to speak to. I was looking for some clipboards, but for some reason, all of them are missing. So. Yes, Harold actually misplaced them, but he doesn't want to say that. All right. What I'm passing is actually something that's actually for tomorrow's. It's a community religious survey. And this is actually something that we're going to use, something that we're going to practice. And this is actually something that you guys can keep just... You can keep a copy, fill one out. And there you go. And these are actually, we'll talk about them a little bit more tomorrow. But just get familiar with them. Take just some time to look through it on your own time. And just get familiar with it, because we are going to, believe it or not, we are going to go into the community, because they're called community what? Okay, the reason why they call community surveys is because we go to the community and you actually do them to the community. You don't call them community because you do them with church members. Okay, you do it because you go to, and you're like already freaking out. What in the world is this guy going to do with us? But believe it or not, we are actually, I personally believe that the reason... does anybody know how many members does the Seventh-day Adventist Church have? It's a little bit more than 12 million. I don't know exactly the right, but it's over the 12. We have a lot of Adventists, but, you know, turn with me to the book of Matthew, and we're going to see something that we have heard many times, and we have heard preached, and we have heard sermons on it, we have heard the verse many times, Matthew chapter 24, and verse 14. Matthew chapter 24, and verse 14. Matthew chapter 24. The Bibles are right there. And there's some more over here. There you go. Yep. Let me just grab a couple. There you go. All right. Matthew, are you guys there? Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Everybody is familiar with this text. And the Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. We have actually seen this being fulfilled in our own generation, in our own time. We have seen God fulfilling this promise. But unfortunately, we're not seeing a lot of witnessing. Amen? Unfortunately, we're not seeing a lot of witnessing. Amen? And that's something that we want to grow in. We'll get them. That's something that we need to start seeing more and more in our own personal lives as individuals. And I think that this has to be a personal conviction that we, every single one of us, has to have. And maybe you're not there yet, and I don't expect you to be there yet if you don't feel that you're ready to witness to somebody. But I hope that by the end of the seminar, you will feel ready. You will feel equipped a little bit more, at least, to do something for Jesus. Maybe you're already doing something. Maybe you're doing Bible studies already. Maybe you're at that level. But maybe this seminar will help you to actually get a little bit more acquainted of how to prepare yourself, maybe how to be more ready of giving a Bible study and an answer. I wanted to do this, and so you guys can watch me do it. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off, because it seems that every time, whenever there's something very important about to be said, that a phone just rings. And if you don't have a notebook, I recommend that you will bring a notebook, because it's scientifically proven that you will not remember anything that I say probably in a week from now. But if you write it down, you actually will have a little bit more an opportunity. Here, can you grab one and pass it around? Tonight we're actually going to be talking about something very, very important. And the title of tonight's lesson is, What Has God Done For You? Can you guys see it with the light, or should we turn the lights off a little bit? I don't want to take lights off if people need light to see. Maybe we can just, just do... There you go. Is that better? Is that better? All right. What does the Bible tell us about witnessing? Does the Bible talk about witnessing? Anybody? All right, so Jesus' Great Commission, we know that, and it's actually in Matthew chapter 28. Let's turn there just to see it really quick. Matthew chapter 28. And as we study, let's bow our heads. Let's do really quick as we get to Matthew 28. Let's bow our heads and let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, be with us tonight, Lord. We just pray that the principles that are presented will be principles from Scripture, and that we will follow the example of Jesus, the greatest witness in the whole world. We thank you and we praise your name in this, your Sabbath day. We ask a blessing from not only this study, but from the rest that we receive in the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 28, and we all know this verse as well. Jesus said, All power is given me unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. We're going to come back to that text. But this was his disciples. What about us? Are we Jesus' disciples? Yeah, we should be. All right. How do we know that, though? How do we know that we are called to do exactly the same thing that Jesus called his disciples to do? How do you know that you are called, Harold, to go and preach the gospel or share with someone the love of Jesus? How do you know? How do you know? You can't help yourself. So there's something with an experience with God, and the Bible makes it very clear, and we're going to see that. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, let's turn there really quick as we get started. 1 Peter. When we have a relationship with Jesus, when we have something that God is doing in our lives, something that is real, something that it's not fake, we immediately want to share it with others. Is not that true? Absolutely. And this is what the Bible tells us. The chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 9. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Are you guys there? Amen? Let's read it. But you are a what? Now, here the Holy Spirit is inspiring Peter to write something in regards to the generations that are to come after the disciples. But you, O Fallbrook Church, are a chosen generation, if I may add that, a royal priesthood and a holy what? His own special, that you may what? Show forth. In other versions, specifically in the New King James Version, it says that we might proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous what? So it has something to do with our experience with Jesus. It has to do something with our experience with God that causes us to share with others about Jesus. Now, let me ask you something. Why aren't the people today in society sharing about Jesus? Or, well, not everybody, because there's some people that are, they are sharing about Jesus. But the reason why not, what do you think is the reason? The cares of the world? So the cares of the world are getting in between what? The relationship with Jesus. The reason why they cannot proclaim something is because they are not having a fresh experience with Jesus day to day. Maybe sometimes they are not ready. But what I'm saying is that every single one of us have something to say about what God has done in our lives. Correct? Yes or no? Every single one of us here tonight have a special message that God has given us as individuals. And I want to go to as far as to say that there is people, Harold, that you can touch and that you can reach, but I can't. Do you guys see what I'm saying? That there is people that God has specifically want you to reach for that I can't reach. Because of the special message, the special experience that you personally have had with God. That's why God is calling us to do this in this last generation, in this last time. And so we're going to be talking about personal testimonies and how all of us, maybe you don't think you have one, but I can assure you that even if you were born in the Adventist Church, you have a personal testimony. Amen? All right. We're going to be looking in the introduction to the Bible work class that we're going to be having. We're going to be learning several things. One of the things that we're going to be learning is how to find interest. Not only the interest in our own spirituality, in our own personal relationship with God, but how to find interest in people. How do I know whether a person is interested in religious things or he is not? We're going to be looking into that, and we're going to find how to do that, how to find interest, spiritual interest in our community, in our work. Whenever we go to the grocery store, how can we tell whether someone is dealing with something? You know, it's like we need to continue to be in tune with God's Holy Spirit. And then another thing that we're going to be touching on. This weekend is preparing to present. We're going to be learning how to prepare ourselves as individuals to present the gospel. How we need to prepare ourselves to share with people. Preparation is everything, amen? And we're going to be talking about the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25 and how some were prepared, some were not, and so how preparation is so important. And then we're going to be learning as well of how to give a Bible study. How many of you want to learn how to do that? How to give a Bible study. I know that I continue to learn more and more. Every time I give a Bible study, I continue to learn new things. How to do things, how to not do things. And so let me tell you something. You'll never learn, and Harold was just telling me this, which is so funny, that you'll never learn how to do something unless you do it yourself. itself unless you do it. And you fail in it. You know, a lot of people are afraid of failure, isn't it? You know, they're afraid of rejection, or maybe they're afraid of, you know, maybe I don't know how to speak, or, you know. We remember how God called Moses. Remember that story? And Moses continued to come up with all these excuses. Lord, I'm not eloquent. You know, they're not going to believe me. I'm in the most wanted list in Egypt. You know, you can use me. And God continued to, you know, emphasize that he was going to be the one doing everything. Amen. All Moses had to do is be willing. I want to show you that. Let's go to Exodus. Just kind of like a little side note. Exodus chapter 4. Look with me at verse 1 and 2. Okay, many of us, whenever God calls us to do something, we come up with excuses of why we can't do them. Well, Lord, yeah, I'm busy. Let me get a little bit more of a break. Let me stop having a lot of work, and then I'll do something for you. And we're always focusing in the future. I'll do something for God later. I'll do something for God when I have a family, or when I don't have things, bills to pay, or, you know. And so we continue to make excuses. But look at what God told Moses. Verse 1, it says, Moses answered and said, are you guys there? Amen? Chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 1 and 2. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose, once again, he's coming up with an excuse, but suppose that they will not believe me nor listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. And look at what God says. Look at, this is awesome. I love this. The Bible says, so the Lord said unto him, what did he ask them? What is in your hand? See, what was in Moses' hand? A rod or staff. A shepherd's staff. Now, let me ask you the question. What did Moses do with that staff? He turned it on the ground, and it became a what? A snake. And remember, it ate both of the snakes of Pharaoh. Remember that? What else did he do with that staff? What else? Part of the Red Sea. He struck the rock. Exactly. He struck the rock. Water came out of it. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Moses had like a little magic trick book in his pocket, and every time he went to do something, you know, he pulled it out, and he's like, well, let me check what magic trick I need to pull out now. Who was doing everything? It had nothing to do with Moses. It had nothing to do with the staff. It was all God. But let me ask you something. If Moses would not have done those things, would anything would have happened? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God would have done something else. Exactly. When we are not willing, God uses something else. But the only thing that God asked Moses was what? What is in your hand? They didn't ask him to do wonderful things. They didn't want to be a Bible scholar. He just said, what is in your hand? What is in your reach for you to do? So if you don't have 10 hours a day or 20 hours a day, you know, to go and do Bible studies with people, whatever is in your hand to do, but do it. Amen? Do it with all your might. All right. Let's get into our subject. Sharing your personal testimony. Let's write some of these things. And sharing your personal testimony, we're going to be learning four main things. Why do we share a personal testimony? Okay. What to do when we share a personal testimony? And of course, the opposite of that, what not to do. Because a lot of people don't know what not to do. And number four, we're actually going to practice that. We're going to practice how to share and how to give our personal testimony at the end of this this section. Okay, but let's go to number one. Why share our personal testimony? Let me ask you a question. Why is it important for us to share our personal testimony? It gives people... Uh-huh. Here's some pens, by the way. Pencils. You guys need some. Here. Can I pass them around? Thank you. So it gives people the realization that what?
That God works for people.
All right. That God is... That God meets needs. That God's still alive today. Isn't it awesome? Amen?
Amen.
God is alive. We're not seeing that proclaimed in our society, is it? People are completely forgetting about who God is. They're losing the moral compass. They have no sense of right and wrong. And the reason is because people are not doing this. People are not sharing their personal testimony. People are not sharing what God is doing in their lives today. And is God working in our lives? Yes, absolutely. All right. We're going to look at a quote, and one of my favorite ones actually comes from the book, The Sour of Ages, I believe it is. Or if it's not The Sour of Ages, it is The Sour of Ages. It says, our confession, can you guys see it? It says, our confession of his faithfulness, of his what? So his faithfulness, not our faithfulness, but God, our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to what? So the reason why people don't have a right perception or a right picture of who God is because people are not doing this. They're not showing the confession of his great praises, the wonderful things that he's doing in our lives. And this is chosen, the God's chosen what? God's chosen agency, okay, to reveal Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old. What does that mean? The same way that Daniel gave the testimony in Babylon. The same way that Joseph was allied in Egypt. The same way that Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, they all gave a personal testimony of what God was doing in their lives. The same way, an image, an expression, a confession. And a confession does not only come with our words, or whatever comes from our mouths, it also is a confession of our lifestyle and how we act and how we talk, how we dress. It has a complete atmosphere. Everything that we do, everything that God is doing in our lives. Amen? So, but that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own what? So, the things that were written in all the life, the history of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham and the story of Daniel, and those are all good stories. Amen? And they're awesome to read them and to see how God worked in their lives. But she says, but that which will be of the most effectual is the testimony of our own experience, which means that if you're not having an experience with Jesus every day and every morning, then all you're telling your Bible students or whenever you have a Bible study is just a bunch of stories. Are you beginning to see why people look at the Bible as a book, as just complied of a bunch of stories, isn't it? Because that's what it is to some people. It's just the stories. Because it has no changing effect in their lives. And that's what we need to experience, amen? Our own experience. We are witnesses for God as we reveal in our... I mean, say, we are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of the power that is what? Divine. Now, we finish with this. Every individual has a life... And distinct has an individual. Every individual has a life distinct from all others. Excuse me, and an experience different and essential from theirs. And then it says, God desires that our praises shall be ascend to Him, made by our own individuality. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So God wants us all specifically and individually to have our own experience with Him and to share those experiences with others. This precious acknowledgement to the praise of the glory of His grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of what? So that means that our testimonies is a tool, isn't it? To save souls. Isn't that awesome? But I like this part. It says, when it's supported by a what? A Christ-like life. As we continue to surrender our lives to Jesus, as we continue to surrender our lives to God, we ask Him. And it says that it has an in what? Irresistible. What does that word mean? You can't resist it. It's irresistible. Now, she didn't say that everybody was going to accept that. She just said that it was what? Just like Christ's life. Christ's life, when you read in the book, Desire of Ages, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they looked at the life of Jesus. They were convicted in their hearts. They felt convicted. They felt like they needed to turn, but they chose not to. Okay, it was irresistible. They knew that what Jesus was saying was true, but they did it other ways. Anyways, so now you see why sharing a personal testimony is important. Yes, just one quote, and we're actually going to do a little bit more. But let's talk about what to do. What do you think you do when you share a personal testimony? What do you do? All right, so you share what God has done for you in your life. Okay? That's a good answer. All right. All right. You want to, when you share your personal testimony, and this is actually something that it's hard for some of us, but it is our own personal testimony, and we need to know how to make it short, make it concise, make it brief. Don't tell a whole story of everything that we've done moment by moment and the stores that we went into and the places that we saw and the things that, and you know, you've heard these type of testimonies where people just go on and on and on and you're just like, I lost it. I missed the point. All right? And then you want to keep it clear and what? All right? Clear and short. I like to call it the KISS principle. Which is called keep it simple, silly. All right, just very, very. another one that I like is the KICC, which is stands for keep it Christ center. Whenever you share your personal testimony, I don't know if you ever heard personal testimony, but this person, you know, they begin sharing their personal testimony and they start with their story and they spend all this time and all the bad things that they did. You know, it's like, I've done this and done that. And, you know, and they go on and on and on and on and on and on. And all these things. And at the end they say, well, and then Jesus saved my life. You know? So what we want to do with our personal testimony is that we want to keep it Christ-centered. We want to always emphasize what Jesus is doing in our lives, what God is doing in our lives right now, right here. And we want to make sure that we uplift Christ, not sin. Amen? And we want to share the things that we want to do is that we want to share our life. What was our life like before we accepted Jesus and after accepting Jesus? That's the two main emphases that we want to have in our personal testimony. Whenever you share your personal testimony, and we're going to learn when to share it and how to share it and stuff like that, but a little bit later. Okay? And before sharing it, make sure that you what? Because it is your personal testimony. Okay? And this sometimes, you know, someone, like when you memorize it, like for example, this is a personal testimony, I'll tell you. It's actually something that I always like to share in my Bible study on salvation. Okay? When I sit down and I'm going to do a Bible study on salvation, I share my personal testimony. And I emphasize the two main points, which is my life before Christ and my life after accepting Jesus. Okay, and my life now when I accepted Jesus. All right? And I don't bring a piece of paper and I read it to them. You know, I don't go like this. It's like, well, my name is Alex. And, you know, how original will that be? Would that sound like a personal testimony? No, that sounds like something that you just wrote or something like that, you know? But it's a personal experience. And if you're having a personal daily devotional life with God, then it's going to come naturally, isn't it? Because you're going to be so excited of having that personal relationship with Jesus. All right, let's talk about the don'ts. All right, and we're gonna talk about the don'ts. Do nots. Okay. All right. When you share your personal testimony, you don't want to use language that people cannot understand. Okay, like Ellen White said this in this book, Steps to Christ, or. I know canvassers love doing this, a language that nobody understands. They say GC or LB or GA. Do you guys know what any of those things mean? Yeah, VTL and stuff like that. You know, and they have abbreviations for a lot of things, which is language that people don't understand. So when you share personal testimony, you want to stay from language, stay away from language that people do not understand. And then number two, you never want to speak negatively of other churches, okay? People look so horrible when they begin talking. Well, I was a Catholic, and I didn't like the Catholic Church because they were this and that, and they go on, or they go, you know, I was a Mormon, and they diminish other people's religions and other people's denominations, you know, and they say, well, Buddhists are laws and going to hell and stuff like that. I've heard people actually say that in personal testimonies. Which I think is totally not for them to do. It's not the right time to present something like that, you know? So you want to make sure that you do not speak negatively about other churches or about other people, you know? Even, you know, pastors or some people that you have bad experiences with, you don't want to mention anything like that. Okay? And number three, it is not a competition about who is the worst sinner. Okay? Let's try to remember that. When you share your personal testimony, it's not a competition to show I'm worse than you. That's why Jesus loves me more than you. And so it's not a competition about that. That's why we don't want to emphasize a lot about our life. And I'm going to show you how to share your personal testimony in a second here. But another thing that you don't want to do is you want to keep distractions to the minimum. When you're giving your personal testimony, you don't want to be like tapping it or like nervous. And whatever, if I kept talking and I kept doing this, will that just bother you? Please don't. Well, absolutely, it will take the attention completely away from what I'm saying. Okay, so you want to keep distractions to the minimum. Turn your cell phone off or whenever you're having a conversation, religious conversation with someone. By the way, A personal testimony can be shared in any instance, okay? For example, you're having a conversation with someone and they said, oh, are you a Christian? I say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I was not always a Christian. You know, I used to be in a life of drugs, but, you know, my mom kept praying for me, and because of her prayers, you know, I'm a youth pastor at a church here in Fallbrook. That's so simple, isn't it? And I can share that with anybody. I can say, yeah, you know, it's like in a personal testimony you can share with at any time. You can share about your personal devotion that morning. I just read this verse, you know. It's like I just wanted to share it with you. You know, maybe it's an encouraging text. So a personal testimony can be anything. It doesn't have to be just your story. It can be any personal experience that you have with Jesus that will bless other people. Is that understood? Yes? All right. So don't think that whenever I'm thinking about personal testimony, that's the only time that you do it is when somebody invites you in front of the church to share your personal testimony. Because that's not all. Remember, God has chosen our lives to be the chosen agency to do that. Another thing that you don't want to use cliches or terms like the message or the truth of the church. We are the true church or something like that. Or the SOP, which some people don't even understand what that is. The spirit of prophecy, and or Ellen White, or things like that. People, language that, or the 2300-day prophecy. Have you ever heard of the 2300-day prophecy? And some people will be like, what in the world is this guy talking about? You know, and so you want to make sure that you don't mention those things that people are not going to be familiar with. Okay? Do we have everybody? Everything? Yeah, we can move on to the next one. All right. Now we're going to go practice. All right? Are you guys ready to practice? You're not sure. Okay. We don't have page 3, but what we're going to do is we're going to go to the book of John. Everybody turn to the book of John, okay? John chapter 4. And while you read that story in John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 5 onward to verse 38. Take some time to just read it. We're almost done. Just take some time to read the story. We all are familiar with it. But I want you to do 3 things, okay? I want you to all right. What was her life? What was the life of this woman before she met Jesus? Okay, so write that one down. What was her life before she met Jesus? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the first question you need to answer. On one of the community surveys on the back, you can write some of those questions. What was her life before she met Jesus? How, question number two is, how did she meet Jesus? How did she meet Jesus? That's not question number two. Question number three, what was her life after she met Jesus? What was her life after she met Jesus? All right, so, and what I want you to do is I want you to write her personal testimony. Really quick, maybe one sentence or two if you can. Say, take some time. What was her life? So answer those 3 questions. What was her life before she met Jesus? How did she meet Jesus? And what was her life after she had met Jesus? Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. 5 through 38. Mm-hmm. All right, is there any questions? So just read her story and write her little personal testimony. All right, how are we doing? look at all those good students just riding away. While you guys are doing that, I had a question. I heard that some of you, and I know that gas is kind of expensive, so I wanted to be a little flexible in regards to that. I heard that some people were not going to be able to be here on Sunday. And Sunday is actually, it's very important, but I was willing to actually move everything and just do everything on Saturday. Would that work better for some people? So that just get it over with, have two meetings, and then have a third meeting and kind of practice everything that we have learned on Saturday afternoon. It was supposed to be from 2 to 4. We can do it from 2 to 5. I mean, that's what we can do. I mean, we can try to go as fast as we can, but that'll be better for everybody. It's just the reason why we don't like doing. And tomorrow you'll learn the principle of this, and maybe some of you have been in seminars and stuff like that. It's informational overload. And you know, you get a lot of information crammed into your brain. You're just gonna go like, regurgitated back, and it's not a good teaching method. And so that's why. But I'll be willing to be as flexible as you guys would like me to be. I mean, I'll try to finish as fast as I can, and we'll try to cover as much territory as we can. We can actually start even earlier, and just with Pollock and stuff. It's usually by like. It's done by around 2, clean up and everything. So that's what I was thinking. So, all right, good. So, are we done with the story? We are pretty familiar with the story in regards to the woman at the well. We don't know exactly what her name was, but we know exactly what was her life before she met Jesus. What was she? Yeah, she was looking for things that would not satisfy. Thank you so much. That's actually part of a song, too. She was looking, she was searching for things that would not satisfy. And you know, that's why Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Jesus was not speaking about the literal water, but it's speaking about the spiritual things, the spiritual experience that God can give us. How did she meet Jesus? Her life was a mess, wasn't it? She was a prostitute. She was looking to fill her emptiness of her life with man. And we know that there is hundreds of people out there who are trying to do exactly the same thing. They're trying to satisfy their desire by, you know, being multi-friendly, like they call it today. That's what they call it. They don't call it, you know, adultery anymore. They just call it multi-friendly. So they actually have new new names for it, unfortunately, yes. So it's multi-friendly. I'm just being multi-friendly. But anyway, she was being multi-friendly, wasn't she? Because Jesus said, you've answered right. You've had 5 husbands, and the one that you are with is not your husband. She is trying to fill her emptiness. But how did she meet Jesus? At the well. No one else was there. Right at noon. Huh? He approached her. It's Jesus who approached her. Isn't that a beautiful picture that we continue to see throughout the Bible? That it's not us searching God, but it's God searching us. And that's the wonderful thing, that God has chose us. God is actually asking us to be partakers of this great plan of salvation. And guys, that's why it blows my mind whenever people in church who have an experience with Jesus are not jumping out of their seats to go and share the gospel with the world. Because God wants us to be part of this great plan of salvation, and He wants us to do the work, the very work that angels, Ellen White says, angels are wanting, they are longing to do. But God has not entrusted this work unto them. He has entrusted that work unto you and unto me. Isn't that awesome? Praise God for that. But what was her life? Boom, right here. Personal testimony. She went and practiced what God had done for her. And look at to what extent does her personal testimony impact her village? How many? The whole village. Now, if you're talking about successful evangelism, that's one of them. And she didn't go and preach an evangelistic series. She didn't go and did this wonderful Bible study. She was not going town to town or house to house having or holding on Bible studies or group studies. All she did was share her personal testimony. And because people saw who she was before she met Jesus, and because they were seeing what she was doing and how she was going about it, that her life was beginning to change, they all say, wow, well, let's go check this out. And guys, whenever that happens in our own personal lives as individuals, there's going to be major, major, major. We're actually this whole weekend is in regards to that. How can we do that? What was her first thing that she did? She just went. Look at what the Bible says. There you go. There you go. It's her personal testimony. Now, we're going to learn this weekend, and in regards, I'm actually going to show you this in the next few in the next day, tomorrow, in regards to how are there's actually different levels of, and there's different ways. There's hundreds of ways of how we can go, Harold, about doing the same work that she did. The Bible doesn't tell us how big her village was. Maybe there was 10 people. Maybe there was 100 people. Let's say that there was, let's be fair to her. Let's say that, I mean, she was not a big evangelist. Let's say she just had a small village of 10. Thank you. All right. So her village, let's just be fair. 100 people, that's a lot of people, no? Isn't it? To go and talk to every single one of 100 people. Let's say her village was, she brought 100 people to Jesus. And look at what, this is what's awesome. Her personal testimony affected their lives, and that she brought them to who? She didn't bring them to herself. She didn't start teaching. She bring them to Jesus. Huh? Come and see. And then what did the people say? What do the people say? We no longer need you. We have seen Jesus. And we believe Him. They had their own personal experience. So we see this, the principle that I'm trying to present to you is that a personal testimony has the power to change people's lives. It has the power to influence people that whenever people see you, it has the ability to bring them to who? To Jesus. A powerful tool that we can use. So, what I want you to do is I want to pass these white sheets of paper. And what I want you to do tonight on your own time or tomorrow morning or whenever you can, I want you to do the same thing for your own personal testimony. What was your life before you came to Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? And number three, how has your life been since you've been with Jesus? Okay, so I want you to write that, and I want you to bring that tomorrow. If you're not going to be here for the afternoon, just give it to me during church. I do want to see those personal testimonies, because it's always an encouraging thing to see how people and how God is working in people's lives. So just please remember to bring that. What was your life before you met Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? And number three, what was a major time? Maybe you were always in church. How many of you grew up in church? All right, the majority of you. I didn't grow up in church. But the majority of you, what was a pivotal moment in your Christian experience? What was, you can do that as when you met Jesus. When did Christianity become real to you? Mm-hmm. All right, we're not going to get into that one. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. Go ahead. Uh-huh. A distraction. It's called a distraction. Yeah, sometimes, church can, yeah, can be hindered. Church. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. I just wanted to point out, I go to the church personally, and at first when people said that I could have a personal testimony, I was kind of like, well, how can I get to the church? Exactly how a personal testimony if I didn't go to the church? And this is one thing that helped me, and it was just understanding that when you come into the church as a kid, you make that decision, or are you just following your parents?
Yeah. Like, what a pitiable point. Maybe it was an accident or something like that. Mm-hmm. Need something. Yeah, need something more. Mm-hmm. That's true. It happens in all our lives. And I personally believe that every single one of you here present tonight has a personal testimony. I believe that. And I know that. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be here tonight. So, and the reason is because of that. Because you have a personal testimony. And I'm not saying that whoever's not here tonight does not have a personal testimony. Because I know that there's a lot of people who have a personal testimony who couldn't be here. But what I'm saying is that the very fact that we are in church, that we are wanting to and searching for a deeper relationship with God, is because God is doing something in our lives. Amen? All right, let's just finish with the real life application. The three question: what was my life before Jesus? When did I meet Jesus? How did I meet Jesus? How, when? And number three is, what was my life after I met Christ? Okay. When do you use your testimony? When to use your testimony in a Bible study? All right. Now, like I said, this is speaking specifically when you're in a Bible study setup. Okay. You always want to begin your Bible studies with conversation. All right. Not fake. Not made up, but you want to have genuine, you want to start building a bond with your, the people, your friends, whoever you're studying the Bible with. You want to build a bond with them so that they're able to trust you. You're opening yourself to them. And that's why you're actually sharing your experience with God and how you were, what happened in your life. And so it's an aspect like that. Go ahead. Question? Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
The talking was, he made a couple of the pastors make comments how they were, how they met with people, different families, and befriended them, they worked for them, they called them and asked them to come over and help with this, and do that, and they got sick and they were at the end of their life, family, and the pastor said, John, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And the family said, no, he's not going to want to do that. And he said, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus, because he had this talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not always
they're
impressed.
Yeah. Whenever I present any of the principles, there are principles, there are not rules, okay? I'm not telling you this is the only way that you can do things. You can be flexible. And like I said, a personal testimony is a testimony. It's an experience that you have with God. Maybe you read something that really touched you that morning, and you want to share that with your, you know, with your friend or something like that, you know? I read this quote this morning. It's really beautiful. You know, I always keep a quote with me. Or I have a Bible text with me, a new text that I try to memorize in the mornings. You know, that's something that I sometimes share with people, you know, many times. So it's not always just a testimony. It's not just your story. It's your experience that you're having with God. And you can use it in any way and in any setting. Okay? What is the purpose of a personal testimony in a Bible study? Well, the purpose of a personal testimony is for the people to know that you're actually real, that you know you're not a holy roller, you know, and that they're in the same boat. You guys are in the same boat. You're struggling just as much as they are. You're searching for a relationship with Jesus just as much as they are. And so you're coming down to their level, and you're saying, you know what, I'm human just as much as you are, and I need Jesus just as much as you do. So we all need God, and that's why we're studying the Bible. That's something that I make plain to every Bible study that I go to. It's something that I make plain to. I'm already over time. And how to use it outside of a Bible study setting. Whenever, wherever, and however you can share your experience with other people of what God is doing in your life. Maybe you've seen God working in your grandson's life or in your family's life. You can share that because that's your own experience. You've experienced. Maybe you can say, God answered my prayer such as this. Is that clear? Yes? Say amen. Raise your hand. All right. So we can move on. That's it. All right. So is there any questions, any complaints? Tomorrow we're going to be touching a little bit more of how we can do this, how we can go in steps, of how we can approach sharing. Go ahead. Thank you, brother. All right. Go ahead. Okay. It's up to you guys. We can keep it the way it is, but I know that there's some people that are not going to make it. Do you guys want to do it all tomorrow? Yeah? All right, raise your hand if you want to do it all tomorrow. All right.
Will you give two people
private tutoring? Oh, you're not going to be here tomorrow. Oh, okay. If you guys want to sing, you guys are more than welcome to come and sing for us tomorrow here. Practice.
You won't get this done then.
Okay. Yeah. We're probably gonna just do everything tomorrow, just to save people time, and you know the gas thing is, you know, it's kind of getting expensive, and I know that. I mean, Andrea comes from far. You guys come from Oceanside, and so that's quite a drive. And Paris, so that's even farther. So anyways, the awesome thing is that God will always provide for us. Amen. So we don't have to be afraid of that. So, but we do need to be flexible. And that's actually something that the church leadership is actually thinking about. how we can come up with programs, to coordinate programs so that they're not, you know, one day here, another one day over here. So we're trying to coordinate that, the church leadership and stuff like that. I know that they talked about that in the board meeting in regards to that. So, but let's all stand and remember, write your personal testimony, bring it tomorrow. And I'm gonna go to each one of you guys, and I'm gonna say, "Where's your personal testimony?" And if you're not, I'm just gonna put a big F in your grade. Not just kidding. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, because every single one of us have a personal testimony, a personal story to tell the world of what you've done in our lives. Father, we ask that you will empower us to do whatever is in our hand to do. That wherever we are, we will be a witness for you. And wherever we are, we will share the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We thank you because you have a plan for every single one of us. And we just ask that you will continue to be with us. Bring us here safely tomorrow, Lord. And thank you so much for the hours of the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Happy Sabbath.